Ksubas Tav Samach Aleph. Let's begin on Samach and Beis, four lines from the bottom at the two dots. Says the Gemara, talking about all sorts of activities that impact health. The Misham Shabei Rechaya, a woman who has marital relations where there are millstones which grind wheat, Havli Bnei Nichvi is going to have children who are suffering from epilepsy who fall down. The Misham Sha'al Ara, a person who has marital relations on the ground, not on a bed, Havli Bnei Shamuti is going to have children with extended necks. The Darachal Ramad Chamra, a woman who steps on the neck of a donkey, some say on the blood of a donkey. Havlu Bane Gir Dani is going to have children whose hair falls out of their heads. Others say it's a type of skin ailment that causes the hair to fall out. Da'ach L'chardala, a woman who eats garlic while she is pregnant. Havula Bane Zalzani is going to have children who are always very hungry, with very ravenous appetites. Dachle Tachle, a woman who eats watercress. Havli Bnei Dulfani is going to have children who have teary eyes. Dachle Munyanya, a woman who eats small fish. Havli Bani Mitzitzi Eina is going to have children whose eyes are, moving around all the time. Again, when we deal with all these Gemaras, you have to remember what the Rambam teaches us, that the medicinal knowledge of the Talmud was true at the time, but human nature has changed, human bodies have changed, and it may not be true anymore. Ta'achla Gargushta, a woman who eats dirt, mud. Havlu b'nei Mechuari is going to have children who are ugly. Tishat Yeshichra, a woman who drinks beer. Havlu b'nei Uchmi is going to have children who are black. Ta'achla Bisra, a woman who eats meat. Tishat Yechamra, drinks wine during her pregnancy. Havlu b'nei Barya is going to have children who are very healthy. Ta'achla Bey, a woman who eats eggs during her pregnancy. Havlu b'nei Einani is going to have children with big eyes. Ta'achla Kavri, a woman who eats fish. Havli Bnei Chinini is going to have children with a lot of charm. Achla Karpas, a woman who eats karpas. Karpas is either translated as celery. Others say it's parsley. Havli Bnei Zivtani is going to have children with a beautiful glow, with a beautiful shine on their faces. Achla Kuzbarta, a woman who eats coriander. Havli Bnei Bisrani is going to have children who have a lot of flesh. Achla Esroga, a woman who eats during her pregnancy esrogim. Havli Bnei Reichani is going to have children that have a nice smell. Gemara now brings a story to illustrate that. Brati to Shvar Malka, the daughter of Shvar Malka, who was a non-Jewish king who lived in the times of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara has several stories about Shvar Malka. So the daughter of Shvar Malka, Achla Ba'ima, her mother had eaten with her when she was pregnant with her, Esroga and Esrog. Avu Maskel Kam Yavu Bereish Rechani, when they bring to her father all sorts of things that had a nice smell, they would first bring her because there was a nice smell that would waft out of her. Now the Ben Yoyada explains, it doesn't mean that her flesh had this smell, but rather her breath had this smell. Talking about the obligation of a woman to nurse a child. Rav Huna explained, Badaklan Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Rav Huna Bar Chinina once tested us with the following question. He said, "He omeres lehanik." Let's say the woman is saying, "Yes, I want to nurse the child." Who? But the husband is saying, "Shelo lehanik." She doesn't have to nurse the child, but she can go hire a woman to nurse the child on her behalf because he doesn't want her to become less beautiful, and nursing would make her less beautiful. So the halach is that shomen la, we tell her to nurse as she is offering. Tzardi dahu, to not nurse is going to cause her pain. She's going to get engorged with the milk. She has milk in her chest. She wants to get it out. So we listen to her. However, hu omer lehanik, if the husband says, "I want you to nurse," he omer shalonahanik, and she says, "I don't want to nurse," So Mahu, what's the halacha then? Do we listen to him, or do we listen to her? Kol hei chadolav orcha. Let's say in her family, it was not mekubal to nurse. They always would hire a nurse, a woman to nurse their babies. Then, of course, shomen la, we listen to her. However, if it is he orcha, it is the norm in her family to nurse. V'hu lav orche, but it's not the norm in his family to be hiring, to be nursing themselves. They would always hire someone. Now, what's the halacha? Basadi de azlina, do we follow his family custom? Basardi Dazlina, or do we follow her family custom? And since in her family they do nurse, therefore, even though she's saying she doesn't want to nurse, he wants her to nurse, so she would have to nurse. And Rav Huna resolved the discussion, Ufashit Nale, and we resolved this suffix of Rav Huna Bar Chinina Meha from the following source, the following din. The din in the Gemara is Ola Imo, a woman goes up financially to reach her husband's status. So if he gets more money while during being married, he now has to provide for her as per a wealthy person, Ve'ini Yoredes Imo. But she does not go down with him. And therefore, if she was wealthy and he was not, he needs to treat her as a wealthy woman gets treated. And if she was not wealthy and he is wealthy, he needs to treat her as a wealthy woman gets treated because she goes up to his level. So therefore, since in his family, the custom is not to nurse, but rather to hire a woman to nurse, so she goes up to his level, he can't force her to keep doing her custom and to actually nurse, but rather she can force him to now treat her the way the other women in his family are treated, and to get for her a nursing woman to help her out. And now, a support for this. Am Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Maikra, what's the pasuk that Ola Imo, Ve'ini Yoredes Imo, she ascends to his level, she doesn't descend to his level. The pasuk says, Vihi, and she, Be'ulas Ba'al. She is a wife, she is married to a husband, so why Be'ulas Ba'al? It's to say, Baliyaso shel Baal. She goes up to the ascent of the husband. V'lo biyiridaso shel Baal. She doesn't go down to descend to the level of the husband, which may have been lower than her level. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Rabbi Lazar said, Mehacha, this is the pasuk. The Torah says about Chava, ki hi haisa aim kol chai. She was the mother of all living people. That's why she was named Chava. It's also to say, L'chaim nitna, she was given to her husband to get chaim, to get life. V'lo l'tzar nitna, she wasn't given to her husband to get pain, to be reduced from the level that she was at before. Mishnah then taught, going back to the Mishnah teaches there are seven activities that a wife has to do for her husband. But if ichnisa lo shifcha, if she brings into the marriage a maid, she doesn't need to grind the wheat, which either means to prepare the wheat for grinding or to use a hand grinder. And she doesn't need to bake, and she doesn't need to do laundry. Three of the activities she does need to do. So the Gemara says, Hashara avda, but the other four activities she does have to do. So v'temele, why can't she tell her husband, Ailislach itza b'charikai, I brought another woman in my place. And she could do all those things like spinning the wool or nursing. Answer the Gemara, Mishum Da'amela, her husband can tell her, Hatarcha l'didi l'dida. This maid is working for me and for herself. So in other words, if I'd be married to you only, you're working, so that work that you would do would be for yourself and for me. But now that there's a maid, the maid has to prepare for herself and for me. Kamadi Dachman Tarach, who's going to work for you? And therefore, bringing in a maid only takes care of three of the activities and not all seven. And the Mishnah says that if the woman brought in two maids, then she doesn't have to cook anymore for her husband, doesn't have to nurse the baby anymore. So the Gemara says, implying, Hashara Avda, she still has to do two other activities. Now again, V'temele, why can't this woman who brought in two women say, Ailas Lach Itzachrit, I brought two women, who are going to now do all the activities for me and for herself, as well as for you. V'chada l'didach l'dida. And there's another woman who will do the activities for herself and for you. So I shouldn't have to do everything. And so the Gemara Mishum Darmala, the husband can tell her, it's true, the needs of the three of us, or the four of us, can now be taken care of. However, Kami Orchi Uparchi, what about the long-term guests who come by, and the guests who walk by, who come in for a visit? Mantarach, who's going to take care of their needs? And therefore, these maids can't do all of the work. You still have to do some of the work. Then the Mishnah says, if she brought in shalosh, three maids, eina matzah samita, she doesn't now have to set the bed, and she doesn't have to spin the wool. Hashara, but other activities, other small activities, avda, she still needs to do. But the table, so why can't she tell her husband? I brought in a third maid, lo'orche uparchi, to cover the long-term and short-term guests. And now, I shouldn't have to be doing anything. Answer the Gemara, Mishum Damla, because the husband can tell her, nafesh b'nei v'esa, when there are a lot of people in the house, when there's a lot of people in the household, nafesh urcha uparche, and more guests decide to come. And there are a lot of guests. Therefore, the three maids don't cover also the extended asks the Gemara, Yachi, if that's the case, when you have a lot of people in the household, then you need to prepare for many guests. So then even if there are four maids that she brings in, they're going to be now increased guests, and we should still be making her do something. Answers the Gemara, Arba, once there are four maids, there's a staff of four people to help out. Even the Nafash Luhu, since the Fish Luhu, since there are so many of them, Messiah Adadi, they help each other out, even for these needs of the added guests, and therefore, then the woman sits on a throne. Mishnah said that if there are all these different maids that she's bringing in, she gets exempted from doing work. Am Rav Chana v'itema Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Rav Chana, and some say it's Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, said, Lo ichnisa lo mamish. It doesn't even mean that she actually brought in all these maids. If she brought in a lot of money, and with some of that money you could purchase these maids, afal pi shelo ichnisa, even though she didn't bring in the maids, she's already exempted from doing the work. Tanu nadin abraisa, echad she ichnisa lo, whether she brought in maids, or echad she tzimtzala mi shela. Or, if he is giving her for her needs, and she's choosing to provide for herself with less, and to save, and by saving to have money to buy maids, that also would then decrease the amount of work she has to do. The Mishnah said that if she brought in four maids, Arba, Yosheves Bekatedra, she sits on a throne, and she doesn't really need to do any malacha. Am Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya, Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya said the name of Rav Huna, even when the Tanakhama said that if she brought in four maids, she doesn't have to do any work, Aval, but still, Mozeges, she has to, the Mozeges Lokos, she has to dilute the cup of wine for her husband and hand it over to him, because that's going to be something that brings love between him and her, so that she still has to do, to create affection between herself and her husband. Umatzas lo asamita, and prepare the bed with some sheets and nice things. She may not have to put out the pillows and the blankets that the Mishnah said she didn't have to do, but at least to make the bed with the sheets she should do. Umarchatzas lo panav yadav raglav, and she would have to wash his face, hands, and feet. Because since these are activities of chiba, a wife has to do that for her husband, even when she has a whole staff that she's bringing in, which should then do the other activities. Now, if these are activities of chiba, then when a woman is anida, she shouldn't do them for her husband, because it would bring her to feel affectionate to her husband, which might cause them to have marital relations, which she's not allowed to do when she's anida. I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya. Amrav Huna, kol malachos she'isha usa lebaala. even these, all these activities that a woman does for her husband, nida osa labala, a woman when she's in nida can do for her husband, chutz mi mezigas akos, except for handing wine to him, a cup of wine to him, vatzas amitam, preparing the bed with sheets, fire chatzas panav yadav raglav, and washing his hands, face, or feet. Added the Gemara, though, vatzas amita, when we say that she can't make the bed for her husband when she's in nida, amarav, rav explained, lo amaran, Ella Bifanov. That's only in front of him when he sees her. Because when he sees her, it creates a certain affection that can lead to marital relations. Aval Shalob Bifanov, but to make the bed when he's not in the room, Les Lanba, there's no reason to prohibit it because that's not going to make them feel close to each other. And Mizigas Hakos, when we talk about handing over a cup of wine, that's only if she does it in the usual way. But if she would do it in an unusual way, it would be permitted. And now the Gemara gives examples of unusual ways of handing over the cup. Shmuel, machlefale de bisu, biyada de smala. Shmuel, his wife, when she was in nida, would hand over the cup with her left hand. And by handing it into the left hand, he knew that it was unusual. She was in nida, and therefore they wouldn't be feeling close to each other and possibly being intimate. Some say she put it on the table, didn't put it into his hand, but just put it on the table with her left hand. Abaya manchale apuma de kava. Abaya's wife used to put the cup on the edge of a barrel. And therefore, again, it didn't create such affection. And Rava's wife, Abe Sadia, would put it next to the pillow on which his head was resting. Rav Papa, his wife, Ashar Shifa, she would put the cup on a little stool. More lessons now from Rav Yitzchak in the name of Rav Huna. I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya. I'm Rav Huna. Yitzchak Bar Chananya is in the name of Rav Huna. Hakol mashin bifnei hashamash. All food we can, you know, say to a waiter that sorry, he can't get some of this food until everyone else who's at the meal got up to finish their meal. Chutz mi basar v'yayin, except for wine and meat. If he's serving wine and meat, you also have to let him eat when everybody else is eating. Because if he sees other people eating and he can't participate, it would be unhealthy. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said, this Rav Huna said that you can't hold back a waiter from eating some of the meat and wine. That's bebasar shamein v'yayin yasham. When it is fatty meat and old wine, which are very delicious, and he has a great appetite for those things, and if he's being held back, that would be unhealthy. Amar Rav Rava said, basar shamein Kalashana Kula. When we talk about fatty meat, that's the whole year. We can't hold it back from the waiter. However, Yayin Yasha, when we say that we can't hold back from the waiter old wine, Bitkufas Tammuz, during the summer, during the period of the summer of Tkufas Tammuz, when it's very strong smell and it's very hot, and then he very much wants the wine. Now the Gemara is going to bring stories that even other things. It's important not to hold back from people when they have an appetite for them. Rav Anan bar Tachlifa related, Havaka imna kameda mar Shmuel. I was standing in front of mar Shmuel. I was serving Shmuel. Vaisile tavshiva d'arde. And they brought him a cooked dish of mushrooms. V'ilav d'yayivli, if not for the fact that he handed me some of it to eat. If you would have told me, keep serving, and at the end, when we leave, you can eat. Istakani, I would have gotten in danger because I would have been overwhelmed with a tremendous appetite for it because of a desire for it. And to hold back such an appetite would have been very dangerous. I'm a Rav Ashi related to the story. Yavikayim the Kamed Rav Kahana. I was serving Rav Kahana as a waiter. Va'aisule gargalide de lifta bechala. And they brought him these, you know, circles of lefet. Lefet is a type of vegetable that was cooked in vinegar. And if not for the fact that he allowed me to eat some of it, istakani, I would have become endangered. Rav Papa said, afilu temarta tahanunisa, even a fat date, if you don't give it to the waiter right away, it's going to become dangerous if he has to serve and not get to partake. Kol demilsa, the rule is, kol isla recha, anything that has a delicious aroma, the isla kiyuha, and has some type of acidity, some type of sharpness to it, we are worried that if we don't let the waiter eat, then he is going to become sick. And we can't, if we're eating it, we also have to allow him to eat from it as well. Now some stories about those who did give their waiters to eat the food. Avua Bar'i, Avua the son of I, Uminyamin Bar'i, and Minyamin the son of I. Chad one, Safi Mikalmino Mina. He used to give to the waiter to eat from every food item that he was eating at the meal. V'chad and the other, Safe Mechad Mina. He used to give from one of the food items enough that he should be filled up. And the other food items, he would let him eat from them after the meal. Mar Mishtoy Elio Bade, one who used to give from every dish to the waiter. Elio Hanavi used to speak to him. Umar, the one who would only give one dish and have the waiter filled from that dish and let him wait till the end of the meal to get from the other dishes. Lo Mishtoy Elio Bade would not merit to get Elio Hanavi to speak with him. Another story. Hanutartin Chaside, there were these two pious people. The others say it was Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas B'nei Rav Chizda. It was Rav Mari and Rav Chizda, Rav Pinchas, the sons of Rav Chizda. Mar Kadem Safi. One would give to the waiter before he gave to himself. Umar and the other, Ma'acher Safi, would let the waiter eat, but only after he himself ate. Kadim Safe, the one who used to give to the waiter before he would eat. Elio Mishtobade, Elio Hanavi would speak to him. Because right when the waiter saw the food, he would already feel bad. Demacher Safe, the one who would only let the waiter eat after he himself ate. Elio Mishtobade, Elio Hanavi wouldn't speak to him. Amimurmars, now a story about how dangerous it is to want to eat something and yet not be able to eat from it. They were sitting by the entrance to the king Izgor. He was one of the Persian kings. Khalifa Azil Aturanga de Malka, the waiter who used to give out the food in front of the king and the ministers, came by. Chazi Rav Ashi Limar Zutra. Rav Ashi saw Mar Zutra, the Chavarape, that his face turned white because he wanted to eat and he couldn't eat. Shakal Betz Baisa. So Rav Ashi took from the food with his fingers, the Anach Lebapumi, and he put it into the mouth of Mar Zutra. Now, it must have been pig meat. And he just put it into the mouth to calm him down from the illness, but not to actually have him swallow it. Because, as the Maharsha explains, Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them from actually ingesting treif. And therefore, it was just a little taste in his mouth, and he probably spit it out. Amar Lei, so the waiter of the king, said to Rav Ashi, you just ruined the king Izgur's meal because you put your fingers into his food. He's not going to eat it now. So the policeman of the king now said to Rav Ashi, why'd you do such a thing? So Rav Ashi said, if you make food like this, anyway, the king couldn't eat it. Amrule. So the policeman said, Amai, why is this food that's not good for the king either before you touched it? Amrule. So he said back to them, again, Amrule, they said to him, Amai, what makes this food not edible anyway to the king? So Amalahu, Sir Vashi answered the policeman, Davar Acher Chazoibe, I saw the pig meat of a leprous pig inside of it. Amrule Batku, so they checked. But Velo Ashkachu, they didn't find any leprous pig meat in it. Shakal Etzba Isa. So Rav Ashi picked up the finger of the guy checking. Anachale, he put it on one of the pieces. Amaluhu, he said, Hachami Bat Kisu, did you check this piece? Batku, they checked that piece. For Ashkachu, and a miracle occurred, and there was, in fact, leprosy on it. Amalu Rabbanu, the rabbi said to Rav Ashi, my time was machta anisa. Why did you rely on this miracle? To give some of this meat to try to save Mar Sutra. It was a miracle that it all worked out. Some lose. Rav Ashi answered, Chazoi Ruach Tzaras de Kaparchi Luve. I saw the spirit of Tzaras floating above it. And so I knew that Mar Sutra was in grave danger. And I had to save him. And therefore, I was willing to rely on a miracle in order to save his life. Hahu Roma, there was a Roman, Do'amar lo lahi itzo, told a woman, Mincevasli, will you marry me? Amrle, she said, look, no, I don't want to marry you. So he wanted to force her to marry him. So what did he do? Azal Isari money, went and he brought pomegranates. Pali v'achal kamet. He slit them open, and he was eating it in front of her without offering any to her, so she suddenly had a great appetite for these pomegranates. So kol maya, any spittle, ditzarila, that was rising in her mouth because she wanted these pomegranates and she couldn't get them, balate, she kept swallowing, v'lo havla, and he still wouldn't give her any pomegranates, adizagla, so her face started to bloat, and her stomach bloated, and it almost became translucent like glass. L'sof amar lah, so then the Roman said to her, Imasina lach, if I heal you, mincevatli, would you marry me? Amalayin, she said, yes, I see I'm getting sick. So Azal Isri money brought more pomegranates, polivachal kama, he started splitting them open and eating them in front of her. And Amar Lani told her, Komai de Tsarilach, any spittle that rises in your mouth because you're upset that you're hungry and you can't eat it, Tuf Shaddai, spit it out, Tuf Shaddai, spit it out, and then you're going to become better. So she did that, Tuf Shaddai, she spit it out, Adanavka Mina, Kihutza Yarka, until she got all the spit out, almost like a green lulav leaf also spit out. Vatsias, and she got better. We learned that one of the things that a wife has to do for her husband is to work with wool. Vosa betsemer. Says the Gemara betsemer, and she has to work with wool, but pishtim lo, not with linen. Mas nisin mani, who is our Mishnah? And says the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda, it's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the title of Braisa. Eino kofa. A husband cannot force his wife, lo lamod lifnei aviv, to stand and serve his father, lo lamod lifnei rabo, lo lamod lifnei beno, or to stand and serve his son, lo litein tevin lifnei behemto, or to give hay to his animals, like his horse or his donkey. Avol kofa, but he can't force her, litein tevin lifnei bekaro, to give hay in front of his cattle. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af eino kofa la'asos bepishtan. You also can't force her to work with linen and turn it into thread. Because working with linen ruins the lips, ruins the mouth. Umasharbeit es hasfasayim. And it it lacerates the lips. Rashi says it elongates the lips. Vahani mili, and when is this so that linen, working with flax hurts the lips? Bekitne romai, with the Roman flax. Rebbe Lezer says, afilu yichnis lo mea shvachos, even if she brought in 100 maids, he can still force her to work with the wool, because if she's not going to be gainfully busy, she might get into znus. Amar of Malki, Amar of Adabar, Hava, Lachak Rebbe Lezer, Lachos like Rebbe Lezer. Now the Gemara quotes 6 dinim, where we have something from Rav Malkia or from Rav Malkia, and the Gemara gives a way to remember what was said by Rav Malkia and what was said by Rav Malkia. Amar Chanina, Reid Ravika, Shaput, the halacha about a spit that was used to roast meat with it on Yom Tov, and it is now disgusting, so it's muktza, that you're allowed to move it away by indirect movement, by tiltum and atzad, and put it in a corner. The halacha of shvachos, that if there are 4 maids, still she has to do work. And the halacha of gumos, that we don't actually need to have pubic hairs appear, but even if the pores for the pubic hairs appear, at that point a woman's already a gedola. All of that was from Rav Malkio. However, halachos about, let's say, a barber, that bloris, that if a non-Jew wants to have a lock of hair at the top of his head, because that's an Avodah Zarah hairstyle, that the Jew who's the barber can't do that for him. He has to leave some more hair around that lock. Or the law of Efer Mikla, that a person can't put ashes on a wound as a human, because it looks like a tattoo, which the Torah prohibited. Or the law of Gvina, that the cheese of non-Jews is not allowed because some pig meat, pig oil is smeared over it. That's the reason why non-Jewish cheese is not allowed. That was all from Rav Malkia, not from Rav Malkio. However, Rav Papa Amar, Masnisin u Masnisa, things that are in a Mishnah or in a Braisa, that's from Rav Malkia. Shmatisa, things that are from the Gemara, are from Rav Malkio. And the way to remember it, this Simanach, the way to remember, is Masnisa, Braisa, is Malkisa. That's from the queen. That's from Malkia. Whereas Malkio is from Lashon Zachar. That's for the things from the Gemara. My Binai, what's the difference whether it's the 3 things that Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Ika, said, or what Rav Papa said? Ika Binai, they're arguing over the question of our Gemara, the Shvachos. According to Rav Acha, Breid Rav Ika, that's from Rav Malkio. And according to Rav Papa, since it's in a Mishnah, it's from Rav Malkia, not from Rav Malkio. Then the Mishnah said that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if a man makes a neder that his wife can't do work, he has to divorce her, because her being unemployed and having nothing to do is going to make her depressed and bored. About telling Avila de Shimon. Ask the Gemara, I know Tanakam, it's the same thing as Rebbe Lezer. And Slikmar, Ikab and I, the difference would be between them. To Mitala Beguraisa Kitniyasa, a woman who likes to play with little dogs, or Vinadara Vinadrashir, a woman who likes to play chess. And if the issue is because of boredom, she's not going to sit and do nothing. If the issue is that if she's not actively busy with malacha, she's going to get into znus, she could still get into znus. So since the last Mishnah taught us about a person who makes a neder that his wife shouldn't do malacha, This Mishnah teaches us about a man who made a neder that his wife can't have marital relations with him. And that will lead the Mishnah to talk about a man leaving his wife and how long he can leave without having first gotten her permission. And then we'll get into the issues of when he's obligated to have marital relations with his wife. What is the mitzvah of ona? Says the Mishnah, a person who made a neder that his wife can't have marital relations with him. If he made the neder for only 2 weeks, she should wait the 2 weeks, and he doesn't have to divorce her. But if he made the neder for longer than 2 weeks, then right away he has to divorce her. So Omrim Shabbos Achas. She has to wait only 1 week. More than 1 week, he has to give her a divorce already if he made a neder for more than 1 week. HaTalmidim, people who are learning Torah, Yotzim LeTalmud Torah, can go to study Torah in a yeshiva in another city, Shelo Brishus, even without their wives' permission, for Shloshim Yom, for 30 days of learning. HaPoalim, workers who are leaving the city to go work without permission of their wives, they can only go for Shabbos Achas for a single week. Ona Amura BaTorah, what is the nature of the obligation of Ona, of being intimate with one's wife? How often does one have to be intimate with one's wife? It depends on a person's job. HaTayalim, travelers are not really working much. B'chol Yom, they have to be intimate every day. HaPoalim, workers, physical laborers, they're weak. So it's only Shtayim B'Shabbos, twice a week. HaChamarim, the people who lead donkeys, and they're transporters, they transport wheat from place to place to sell them. Achas B'Shabbos, once a week. HaGamalim, people who bring transport on camels, so they travel further distances. Achas L'Shloshim Yom, once every 30 days. HaSapanim, the sailors, they travel very lengthy times. Achas L'Shisha Chadashim, only once every 6 months. Divrei Rebbe Elazar, that's the view of Rebbe Elazar. Says the Gemara, my time of the Beis Shammai, what's the reasoning of Beis Shammai that, say, a husband who made a neder prohibiting marital relations, if it's for less than 2 weeks, they can stay together. Even if it's 2 weeks, they can stay together. Only if it's for more than 2 weeks does he have to give her divorce. Kami miyoledes nekeva. They say, well, look, if a woman gives birth to a girl, the Torah says in the beginning of Parshas Tazria that for 2 weeks she will be tummy and not be able to have marital relations with her husband. So that means a woman can wait 2 weeks of no marital relations. However, Beis Hillel say, Kamri miyoledes zachar. They derive from the beginning of Parshas Tazria that if a woman gives birth to a boy, she only has 1 week of tumah of not having marital relations. That means a woman can wait 1 week of no marital relations. Beis Hillel nami nigmur miyoledes nekeva. Why don't Beis Hillel derive from a woman who gives birth to a girl, and there you see that she can wait for 2 weeks? So miyoledes kamri lo. If we would try to learn from a woman giving birth, you're right, achanami, that would be the source. Ela Besilomi Nida Gamri La. Besil say, no, a woman who is a Nida, she has to wait a week. And therefore, that's the amount that he could make with a neder prohibiting marital relations. So with my community, what's the argument? The Gemara explains like this. Mara Sava Besil hold Midi de Shriach. Mi Midi de Shriach. It is normal that a man will get angry and make a neder not to be with his wife. It's also normal that a woman is a Nida. So just like a Nida is for a week, when he gets angry, it can only be for a week of not being intimate with her. Umar Savar, Bishamai hold, Midi duhu garim la, Midi duhu garim la. We should be deriving the nature of the length of the neder stopping him from having marital relations, which is his action causing him not to have marital relations, from something else, which it's his actions that cause him not to have marital relations, and that is when she gives birth. It's his action that impregnated her. It's his action that causes her to give birth. So that's what we should learn it from. And there, giving birth, we could be 2 weeks. So therefore, when he makes a neder, it also can be 2 weeks. Amar Rav, Rav said, Mach locus, the argument may shaman be silel. Bimafarish. A person said, I'm making a neder, you can't be intimate with me for 2 weeks or for 1 week. Avo, bistam. If he didn't say an amount of time, he just said, I'm making a neder, no marital relations between the two of us. Divrei Yaakov, both Beisham and Beis Hillel agree. Yotzi la'alter. He has to divorce her right away. V'yitin ksuba, and give her the ksuba. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel disagreed. He said, Afilu bistam, even if he made a neder without saying how long it's for, Nami Yamtim, we should wait. According to Beis Shama, we wait 2 weeks. According to Beis Hillel, we wait 1 week. Shami Yimtza Pesach Lenidro. Maybe he can go to a Chacham and he can find a solution to the Neder to say, well, you know, if this and this would have happened, it never would have made the Neder. And then the Chacham could be Matir, the Neder, to him. Asks the Gemara, HaPligi Ba Chada Zimna. We already had this argument once. Because we're in the Mishnah, if a man made a neder that his wife can't get any benefit from him, so he can't give her mizonos, ad shloshim yom, if it's 30 days, yamid parnis. He should, you know, appoint somebody to provide for his wife. He should say, anyone who provides for my wife won't lose out. Let that other person provide, and then he'll pay him back. However, if it's for more than 30 days, Yotzi v'yitein ksuba. He should divorce and give her a ksuba. Amar Rav, and Rav said, lo shanu elab mafarish. Talking about where he said it all explicitly. Aval b'stam, but if he just said, I'm making a neder, she can't get any benefit from me. Yotzi la'alter v'yitein ksuba. Right away he has to divorce her. Shmuel amar afilu b'stam, even when he didn't spell out a time, nami yamtin, he should wait for 30 days. Shamim said, Pesach l'nidro. Maybe he can find a way out of the neder. So why do we need Rav and Shmuel to argue about both types of nedarim? Answer the Gemara. Tzricha, we needed both disputes. The Itmar, if we only learn Baha. In the case when he made the neder of no marital relations, I would say, Baha, come my Rav here. Rav said that if he didn't set a time, he just made a neder of no marital relations, he has to get divorced and give a ksuba, mishum lo efsir b'parnis, because nobody else could fill it in for him. Aval bahi, but in that case, the efsir b'parnis, when he said no benefit from me, so that someone else, though, can give benefit, Emoto Shmuel maybe agrees to Shmuel that even when he didn't spell at a time, he should wait the 30 days to see if he can get his way out of the neder and only then give a divorce. And if we would only have had the argument over there, let's say there Shmuel says, even Bistam, you wait 30 days, but over here, with Tashma Shamita, Emoto Leila Rav, maybe you would agree to Rav. Tzricha, that's what we needed, both sources for both arguments.